Romans chapter 12, in verse 2, it says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may do what? Prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Let me read this from the New Living Translation. It says, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." And as we have shared in the past, in the past lessons, that this word transform, where it says, "Be ye transformed," this word is to actually mean, it means to change into another form. It's where we get our word metamorphosis from. The Greek word is actually metamorpho-ou. That's what it just means, metamorphosis. It means it's changing something from one state to another. It's transfigured. Actually, what happened to Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration? He was transfigured into another being, into something different. He glistened, he shined, right? So he was changed. That's what this is saying, that our thinking can literally be changed or change us into another person. Not on the outward, but our thinking can be changed. So the way you're thinking now, if we do what? Feed upon the Word of God, it will change our thinking so that we'll actually be thinking like a different person. This is what he wants us to do. So that what? Once your thinking is changed, so that you do what? You prove. And I saw something in this that again, maybe you see it, but you know, the more you meditate upon it, you look at the other scriptures. And what does it say? It says, "Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove." Now, isn't that interesting? That how does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So, when your mind is changed and you're convinced, you're going to step out and do something. That doesn't mean, let me just see if this works or not. That's not really what prove means. It means to test the genuineness of something. That means I'm acting on what I believe now. I've been transformed. I'm doing something. That's really what prove means. Everybody got that? So we can see that it's important that our minds be changed and renewed so that what? Revelation comes. See, you're going to act on what's been revealed to you. You're going to do what? You're going to know it. You'll say, "Ah, I see it. I got it. And I'm going to step out and I'm doing what? I'm proving this." Because why? I see it. I see it and I've got this. So I'm stepping out, I'm proving it. So the thoughts that we have are powerful, and the question becomes that your thoughts are such that you can actually change the way you think, or you could be a different person. This is what the scripture is saying, if you change your thinking. We'll actually become Christ-like in our thoughts, in our thinking. And look, we all haven't arrived. All of us haven't arrived. Let me ask the question, is all your thoughts Christ-like? You don't have to answer that question. I'll answer it for you. No. None of our thoughts are. Some of them may be, but all of our thoughts collectively are not Christ-like yet. And so that's what God is saying. Even if you've gotten to a place and you say, "Hey, I'm doing good," there's more. Because he says in Isaiah, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways." So that means we have work to do about being transformed and changed. So his desire is that we think on his thoughts day and night. This is what Joshua 1:8 says. Think on his thoughts. And I would say, you know, we're working on that. As some people say, that's a work in progress, right? So we're being inwardly transformed. That's what the Passion Translation says. Being inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. You know, when you think about something being transformed or made or it's been changed, how many have ever transformed their kitchen or their bathroom or a living room or something, right? You said, man, I don't like the way this looks. I know the ladies do that mostly, right? I don't like the way this is organized. Move this over here. I don't like this wallpaper. I don't like this rug. Let's change it. What did you do? You transformed, you changed it into another look. And that's really what God is saying. We will literally change the way we think when we do what? As it says, as it will transform by the word of God. It has the power to do that. Amen. So we talked about this, that you know, 2 Corinthians 5:17. I'm just kind of going over little things, reviewing. It's good to review, good to think about these things. But what is 2 Corinthians 5:17? Any man that's in Christ is what? A new creature. Old things are passed away. All things have become new, right? But your thinking didn't pass away. You still got, if we had goofy thinking, it's still goofy. It's still mixed up, right? But your spirit is brand new. Now think about that. It was changed. It was transformed the way it was. It's totally changed. You are a brand new creature. Old things have passed away. You're brand new on the inside. But your thinking's not brand new. And that's why he said it needs to be transformed so you can begin to think like him. And that's why we talked about the scriptures are really what? God's thoughts. And what does the scripture say? It says that to be carnally what? Minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. So we've touched on these things in past lessons that thoughts are not, you can't see a thought. So what the premise, not the premise, but the reality is thoughts are spiritual. You can't touch a thought. You can't see a thought. You can't feel a thought. But you can see the results of a thought. You feed enough on negative things, and you begin to do what? Act out and react to that thought. So what did Jesus say in the scriptures? He said, you can't see the wind, but you can see the results of the wind. So you can't see a thought, but you can see the results of thoughts. And as we were sharing in past lessons, we need to think about what we're watching, what we're reading, what we're listening to, because those things are the thoughts and intents of someone that put them into a movie script and put it on TV or the big screen. That was somebody's intentions. What motivated them? What influenced them to do that? Someone to write music. I think about Pastor Clinton. He'd sat down. There was a gift, an anointing. Where did that influence come from? The Holy Ghost. And penned those words to do what? Influence us. But you could listen to some other kind of music that will influence fear, influence any other kind of thing that was influencing that individual to write it and sing it. So that's what we're talking about, that God is saying that my thoughts will influence you. They have the power to influence. They've been breathed by me. They're my thoughts. This is what God is saying, right? So we're different. And so we should be different. And a scripture here that because I'm kind of working to where we're going here. The things that we see, this is 2 Corinthians 4:18. It says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things that are what? Not seen. He said, the things which are seen are what? Temporal. But the things that are not seen are what? Eternal. So things, isn't this an exciting thing? Things that we walk through in life, issues, troubles, even good times are temporal. They don't last. And so what does it say? It says things that are not seen are eternal. You know how people say, I wish it was the good old days. That means it was temporal. It didn't last, right? But God's word lasts. And we'll touch on that. What does the scripture say in Psalm 119:130? We said that the unfolding, well, it says, the entrance of thy words give light, and in the King James, it has a semicolon, which really means it's connecting the next thing that's being shared. Or you could say, you could replace that semicolon with and that would be correct. It says, the entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. It says here in the NIV, the unfolding of your words give light. The Holman Christian Standard Bible says, the revelation of your words brings light and gives understanding. So actually, transformation, the transformation of your mind or your thinking comes through revelation. It's not just reading the Bible that does it. It's the revelation of God's word that changes our thinking. So transformation actually comes about through revelation or through the revealed word of God. The more you set your eyes upon it, the more you touch it, the more you think upon it, the more you meditate upon it. This is what Joshua 1:8 is saying. So transformation actually comes about through revelation. And what I was sharing is what is revealed to you, you're responsible for now. So you're responsible. 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says, but we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So does it matter what you behold? Absolutely. So what you behold matters. You become what you behold. What you look on, what you think on, you become that. So, as we back again, if you don't want to become what you behold, don't look at it. Don't listen to it. Don't think on it. If you don't want to become that, change your thinking, which is what it says. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So let's take a look. I want to pick up here today. Let's go over to James chapter 1, and let's look at this here this morning. For this afternoon, James chapter 1, and let's look at verse 5. So as we were saying here, that when God's word is revealed to you, you will step out and act upon or prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And the reason I say that is you'll step out not hoping it'll work. You'll step out knowing it'll work. That you have it. So James chapter 1. And I'm kind of hooking up with this, having your mind transformed and renewed. But let's look at verse 5. It says, and 6 and 7, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, that means there's a deficit here, which is where our thinking is. We're in a deficit sometimes. And it says here, if any of you lack wisdom, do what? Let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Verse 6, but let him ask in what? Faith. See, this is where we're talking about, you're proving you're asking in what? Faith, confidence, assurance, you're asking. You're convinced that it's God's will for me to have this. It's you're convinced that God wants me to have it. You're not hoping. I hope God help me. Oh, please help me. No, you're convinced that God wants me to be blessed. And you're convinced that he wants me to walk healed and whole. You're convinced. You're bumping around in life. You don't know how you're going to get the money to do this. You don't know how you're going to raise your family. You don't know how you're going to do X, Y, Z. Whatever that issue is, you lack wisdom. You lack a knowing of what to do. See, this is what we've always shared here. Get your education. Education is information. But now you need revelation on how to apply that information. You need to know how to apply the information. So get the information. Just don't lean to it. What does it say? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. It didn't say don't get it. It just says don't put your trust in it. Get wisdom. Right? And this is what the scripture is saying. But here, he said, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Right? For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. But let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is what? Unstable in all his ways. Now I'm going to read something. I'm going to read this exactly pretty much the way it was written. This is something from Rick Renner, who's a Greek scholar, I guess you could say. He's fluent in Greek. He reads a Greek Bible. He's stationed or located in Moscow. He's a word teacher, and he's been over there many, many years. So this is what he shared in this entry in October 1st from Sparkling Gems on if you lack wisdom. See? He said the word ask, which we just got done reading in verse 5 and 6, is the word Aito, A-I-T-E-O. He said that word means to be adamant in requesting and demanding assistance to meet tangible needs. It means to be adamant or demanding. He said such as food, shelter, money, and so forth. He said although this word, Aito, means to demand or insist, it does not give a believer license to be arrogant or rude in his approach to God. In fact, in the New Testament, this word is used to portray a person addressing a superior. The person may insist or demand that a certain need be met, but he approaches his superior with respect and honor as he makes his very strong request. This word also expresses the idea that the one asking has full expectation to receive what has been firmly requested. And this is what he continues sharing. I'm just going to share a little more here. He said, when James tells us to ask God for the wisdom we need, the Greek tense is a command. that we are commanded to ask God for wisdom. He said, this plainly means that God isn't suggesting that we come to him for wisdom. He is commanding us to do so. He's commanding to ask him. There is no doubt that this word describes someone who prays authoritatively, in a sense demanding something from God. This person knows what he needs and is so filled with faith that he isn't afraid to boldly come into the presence of God to ask and expect to receive what he's requested. Well, you can think of a number of scriptures. Come boldly to the throne of grace. It didn't say come pleading. It says come boldly. That's the same as saying demanding or insisting. And so he translated this. He said in his way, he said, if anyone lacks insight, let him firmly request it. He wrote it this way, if anyone has a shortage of wisdom, he should demand it. If anyone is baffled and doesn't know what to do, he should be bold to ask. Just another way of saying that. So this word ask is really something that says we are to demand or insist from God something that he wants us to have. And he's commanded us to come for it. Now, how can you come demanding or requesting firmly or insisting on something that you aren't convinced of in your thinking? That's why your mind has to be transformed and renewed so that you are convinced that God wants me to have this. And I'm not bumping around in life trying to figure out how to do it. I'm coming to God authoritatively and convinced and in faith. And this is what he's saying. Now, I'm going to point out some other scriptures here quickly. Let's turn over to the book of John, John 15, which actually renders the same exact word, ask, that we're all familiar with. John 15, book of John. John 15 and verse 7. And this is why it's important to have our minds renewed. John 15, 7, it says, if you abide in me, and what? My words, my words, my words. Say my words. Abide in you. You shall what? Ask. What you will, and it shall be done unto you. That word ask is to do what? Demand, insist. Same word, same exact Greek word. So when his words take up permanent residence in your heart, you won't ask for something that's not his will. You'll be convinced that it's his will. And you will come respectfully and honorably and say, Lord, you said that you desire me to be healed and whole. You said you desire that I be blessed in the city, blessed in the field, that I've been redeemed from the curse. And I need wisdom. I lack wisdom on how to achieve that. Show me how. Show me what to do. I insist on it. You know, some of us insist on things in life that we know we have rights to. It's funny. You insist, if you're married, then you insist on that partner to do what? Because you have rights to them. You're my wife. You're my husband. I demand XYZ. You don't do it disrespectfully, but you know we in covenant. Is that not true? It gets quiet when we talk about this. Because folks sitting in service will give somebody the eye saying, you know, right? And there's that look, which means I'm insisting on this, right? But how many of us will go to God convinced? See, you're convinced where partnerships are concerned. You're in fellowship with God. You're in covenant with God. And so all he's saying is, look, know my thoughts, know my intents, so that you can come to me and get from me what you need. And he's saying, insist or demand. So his word will transform your mind so that your prayers will always be in accordance with what he said. That's what we're talking about. So John 14, back up a chapter. These are all familiar scriptures that we know. John 14 and verse 13. We'll look at verse 12. It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that what? Believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask, that word means to demand or insist, in what? In my name. That will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So we sang about the name of Jesus. It says, whatever you ask in my name, or demand in my name. John 16, verse 23 and 24. John 16, verse 23, it says, and in that day you shall ask me nothing. For verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. He's saying, you go to me and ask or demand in my name, and I'll do it. Well, I tell you, when that gets lodged in your heart, we'll use the name a little differently. Now, let's look at something here. Let's go over to the book of Luke. Let's go over to the Gospel of Luke, and let's go to chapter 10 and look at verse 38. And talking about, again, getting our mind, our thinking renewed, changed. Verse 38, it says, now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and did what? Heard his word. But Martha was what? Cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, don't you care? Don't you care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? She's whimpering here. Bid her, or tell her therefore, that she help me. And I got all this stuff going on in the kitchen here. He was invited into the house, and she's feeling sorry for herself. And she says, come on, Lord, tell her to come in here and help me. And he said what? And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art what? Careful and troubled about many things. But what? One thing. Say one thing. One thing is what? Needful. And Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Now, we're not saying that you shouldn't attend to daily tasks, but ask for wisdom on how to do the things that you have to do. Some of us get involved in things that steal our time from God, and we're not asking And he's saying there's one thing that's needful, and Mary chose it. And that which she chose can't be taken away from her. So we need to ask these things, that when we feel stretched and pulled and so forth, we need to say, you know what? The most important thing is my relationship with God. And if it's being tried and I'm feeling frazzled like Martha, then I need to ask God for some wisdom. Because he wants you to have that, and he wants you to spend time in his word to know what to do. Now let's look at another scripture, 1 Kings. Let's go over here, 1 Kings chapter 18. And this is the story about Elijah and the prophets of Baal and so forth, and that whole story with Ahab and so forth. But I want you to look at verse 21. See, God wants us to have his thoughts. And you know, in society today, there are a lot of opinions. There's a whole lot of opinions. Even in church, I think this and I think this. Look at verse 21 of 1 Kings 18. And it says, Elijah came unto all the people and said, I'm reading from the King James, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But of Baal, follow him. And the people answered not a word. They said nothing. Listen to this in the New International Version. It says, Elijah went before the people and said, how long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him. But the people said nothing. We cannot afford to waver between two opinions. One thing is needful. That's his word. One thing is needful in our lives. We need to know his thoughts, his opinions. And then our thinking is changed and transformed so that we think like him. We become Christ-like in our thinking. Doesn't mean we step away from the daily responsibilities that we have, but we can get flooded with things and we end up having multiple opinions about things. And this says here, how long are you going to waver between two opinions? We can't. Not in society today, we can't. God is looking for a people who are convinced about him and his thoughts and his words. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And I want to kind of wrap up here. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2 and 3. It says what? Looking unto who? Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Or you could say looking unto the Word, which is the author and finisher of my faith. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Look at verse 3. For consider him. This is the one thing needful. We're supposed to do what? Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. What's that last portion say? Lest ye be wearied and faint, where? In your minds. So when you don't consider him, when you have two opinions and you waver between these opinions, he's not being put first place. And you can become, as this says, wearied and faint in your minds, troubled. Like he said, Martha, Martha, why are ye troubled about many things? Why are you troubled about that? Look, when things happen in our life and we have the complexities of life, they're real. They're right in your face. And God knows that. But he's saying, ask, demand of me, insist for wisdom, and I will show you personally how to navigate these complexities of life. And I will lead you into victory. And God was sharing with me this morning that there are some here that are weighed down. He didn't show me personally, but he said, there are some here today that are troubled about many things. And they're struggling. And what God is saying here is, let it go. Come to me and seek wisdom. See, because somebody can pray for you, not saying that that's wrong, but you're still going to have to, you are going to have to ask for wisdom. I can't give that to you. Prayer is not going to give that. You've got to ask God yourself, where? In faith, and say, God, I need wisdom. I need to know what to do in my life. And some of these things, God is saying, some of you are walking through some real hard things. And he's saying we need to have our minds changed and fixed and renewed, but we need to ask him for wisdom to know what to do in life. Some of us have health challenges and need to know what to do. He said, ask me, ask for wisdom. You know, we all face these things in life, every one of us. When I'm faced with something, first thing, I say, okay, Lord, what should I do? God told me something recently, and it was like, wow, who would have thought of that? And I got results because I'm thinking about it. I'm saying, okay, Lord, what do I do here? And he said, do this. And I thought, wow, that's so simple. But I got results. You see, and this is all I'm saying. Don't go through daily life wringing your hands, worried. Cast not, he says, what does it say? Cast your cares upon the Lord. Be anxious for nothing. Not one thing, as scriptures say. Be anxious or concerned about not one thing. So I'm telling you, God is speaking to our hearts today, because he told me that there are some in here. He didn't say how many, but he said there are some in here that are struggling with some things. And he's saying, come to him and ask him for wisdom. Ask him to know what to do. He's commanding us. This is what Rick Renner was saying. He said the Greek tense is commands us to come. And this whole idea of having our minds transformed, when you look at this word to ask or to demand something of God or to insist on something, when we get our minds changed and renewed, then we won't struggle over some issue in life. Doesn't mean it's not going to be difficult to walk through, but we'll have joy because we'll be assured that God is working in my behalf. He heard me. What does the scripture say in 1 John? This is what? The confidence that I have in him, that if I do what? Ask anything according to his will, he heareth me. And if I know that he hears me, I have it. I have the petition that I've desired of him. So he wants me to ask him in confidence and be assured that he's heard me. You're convinced that he heard me. And it's working. It's coming. It's coming to pass. You know, I heard something. I was watching a stream from the last Living Faith Crusade that the Hagans were doing out in, I think it was Indiana or somewhere over in there. They were in Minnesota, and then they moved over to Indiana. And Mrs. Hagan shared this. Actually, it was Pastor Hagan was sharing, and he said, "Honey, I want you to come up and share this. I believe it'll help the people." And he was teaching on faith and speaking to your, to, as he called it, obstacles. I guess that's a word. That's how he says it. Anyways, that's a Texas word, right? So he calls it obstacle. It's obstacle. You know what I mean. But he was talking about faith and speaking to the mountains in your life. And he asked Pastor Lynette to come up, and he shared, "Why don't you teach, share this little thing that we walked through?" And of course, some of you may know, some of you may not know, they've had a ministry jet for a number of years. Don't get stuck on ministries having jets. Don't get stuck on that. They've got 253 schools worldwide, so it takes them a little bit to get around to them internationally. So God has blessed them with that for a purpose. And that's all they use it for. They're not on it joyriding. But here's the point. They had been believing God to pay the jet off. And 1 year went by, 2 year went by, 3 year went by, 4 year went by, 5 years went by, 6 years went by, 7 years went by. After 10 years, they're confessing. People of faith, they're confessing. "We believe the jet is paid for." And Pastor Hagan said, "We prayed that prayer, simple prayer. Every time we ate, we would say, 'Thank you, Lord, the jet's paid off.' Every time we went to bed, we'd say, 'Thank you, Lord, the jet's paid off.'" 1 year went by, 2 years went by, 10 years went by. 10 years. Their faith was not, it was 10 years because they announced that. It was 10 years because they shared that. And so she said that they were doing a crusade and somebody in the office called and say, "We're paying our last payment." And they rejoiced, said, "Praise the Lord." This was after 10 years. And so she said, "God, you're going to have to help me with this because we've been praying in faith, releasing our words. It was almost like," she said, "how come it took this long? 10 years. And he said to her, he said, "Were you ever lacking a payment?" She said, "No, sir. We never lacked a payment." He said, "Was the money always there to pay your monthly installment, whatever they were paying?" She said, "Yes, it was." He said, "Because if you had not prayed, if you had not released your words of faith, the money wouldn't have been there." So she was trying to package it and figure it out that it was going to come to pass this particular way. And that's where we get stuck. You pray believing the money is coming, the money is there. I have this and I demand of God for wisdom. He shows you. I don't care if you see it or don't see it. It is so when you release the words. And so that helped me. And she said it helped a lot of people because people sometimes, they let loose of their confidence. They let loose of their faith when they release something that God has revealed to them and they don't see it come to pass like they think it should. How come? Always remember, we're the believer. God is the one that performs it. He watches over his word to perform it. He's the performer. We're the believers. We can't make it come to pass. He does. And so this is why, you know, when we go through life and we go through circumstances in life, Get convinced about what God has shown us in his word. Get convinced about that. Trust and believe God. Amen. That what he said is exactly what he meant. Amen. And when I believe that and release my words, it's moving. It's in motion. It's happening. It's got to happen. It has to come. So this is why it's so important for us to get our minds changed and renewed so that we think like him, we talk like him, we believe, and we're convinced that what he said is so. This is what we're focused on here. So again, what does it say? Consider him the author and finisher of your faith, who for the joy that what was set before him endured what? The cross, despising the shame, is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For what? For consider him. Make sure you consider him. Amen. That endured such contradiction of sinners against him, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. We don't want to be that. We don't want to be wearied or faint in our minds. We are people of God. We are to do what? Walk by faith and not by sight. The just shall live by faith. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that we are a convinced people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, peculiar people, purchased of God. And we thank you, Father, that as we meditate upon your word, as we think upon it and meditate upon it, we'll become convinced of your promises. And we thank you, Father, that everything we set our hands to is blessed. We thank you that every cell and vessel in our bodies function in the perfection you made it. We forbid any malfunction in our bodies. We just don't hope so. We forbid it. And we forbid lack in our bank accounts. We forbid lack. We forbid issues in our families. We come against it and we plead the blood over our families. And we say that the Spirit of God is moving in our families and our hearts. And we thank you that we're blessed. Our children are blessed. Our families are blessed. And we're a blessed people in the name of Jesus. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bless God.